Some of you may know, some of you may not know, Brother Taylor grew up just as I did. I tell folks I cut my teeth on religion, false religion, man's religion. And Brother Taylor grew up just like I did in a very religious situation. And that song that he just sang, if you listen to the words of it, is his testimony. That's what the Lord's done for you. Dead. Why'd he call me? Grace. Grace. Grace alone. And that's very well done. And I think it's a testimony to God's grace in you. And I'm most thankful. Most thankful. God brought you our way and has revealed the gospel to you. And I count you as my dear friend and brother, as I do all of you. Now back to Acts chapter 22. And some of you were not here last week. And we make recordings of all the messages on CD or cassette tape if you would like to catch up on what you've missed in the past. But in Acts chapter 22, we find in the middle of this chapter, Paul had just concluded his message. It says in verse 22 of Acts 22, they gave him audience. He stood there and made a defense before this angry mob that went about to kill him. And he made a defense for the gospel. And he said unto them, verse 21, the Lord said, depart, I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto his words, and then lifted up their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit. It's not fit that such a man would live or should live. Paul went to Jerusalem this last time he came to this city to meet with these believers and declare unto them what God had done through his ministry. If you'll turn back to chapter 21, verse 19, it says he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And God did use that man in a very special way to preach the gospel, and God saved a multitude of sinners. And when he came to Jerusalem, he went to the temple, and as he went to the temple, he was spotted by a bunch of Jews from Asia. It says in chapter 21, verse 27, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help, this is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus an Ephesian whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and all the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, for with the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came to the chief captain of the band. And all Jerusalem was in a turmoil, in an uproar. And we see here how God intervened. God sent this Roman captain, this Roman soldier, rescued Paul and arrested him. And then Paul requested that he give a license or liberty to preach the gospel. And he stood on the stairs of that castle and declared the gospel unto them, as it says in verse 21, hear my defense, which I now make. Chapter 21, verse 1, men and brethren, fathers, hear my defense, which I now make unto you. And they listened. They listened to Paul. God brought a hush on the crowd until he declared unto them that God was going to set aside that nation, and that God was going to call out his elect from among the Gentiles, that God would have mercy on Gentile dogs. And they were terribly upset. So upset that they were, as it says there, look what it says in verse 23. They said, away with such a fellow, it's not fit that he should live. And they cried out, away with him. They cast off their jacket. They took off their coat. They threw dust in the air. They started hunting for rocks. and they were going to execute this man, God's servant, on the spot. They were going to stone him to death. This is not the first time Paul faced such harsh treatment at the hands of religious men. Back in chapter 14, don't turn there, but verse 19 and verse 20, when Paul was preaching the gospel at Lystra, he was stoned to death, and they drug him by the heels out of the city, and God raised him up, and he went right back to preaching the gospel of God's grace. Now, in our story, Acts 22, the chief captain came in verse 24, and he told the soldiers, we're going to take Paul and we're going to really examine him. We're going to get to the bottom of this matter. We're going to examine him by whipping and beating the truth out of him. And they bound him. Paul, being a Roman soldier and knowing Roman laws, he said to these soldiers, Paul said to them, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman? And they were terrified. And when the centurion, verse 26, went and told the chief captain, say, take heed what you do to this man. He's a Roman. He's a citizen. And the chief captain, verse 27, said unto them, unto him, tell me, are you what these are saying? Are you a Roman? He said, yes, I am. And then Lysia, this chief captain answered with a great sum of money, with a great sum. I bought my freedom. I bought my citizenship. This man was a Greek by birth. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. I was freeborn. Now, until he finds out Paul is a Roman citizen, he was going to beat him. But when he found out he was a Roman citizen, he was afraid to touch him. And then Paul said, I was freeborn. This man says, I bought my way in. Paul said, I didn't buy my way in. I was born in. Born into this kingdom. It's like you saying, and I think everyone here can fall into this category, how did you become a citizen of the United States? All of you were born here, right? By birth, you became a citizen of the United States. You didn't sneak in. You were born here. You're a citizen of the USA, and as such, you're afforded certain liberties that they say is guaranteed by certain documents. Now, I want to use this phrase here, what Paul says, I was freeborn, and make application to the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. Every believer in the gospel, every believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ can say with Paul that he is a citizen of a heavenly country, a heavenly Jerusalem, by birth. By birth. We're born. How does one get in Christ Jesus? We're born in Him. We've had a birth from above. We're born in this heavenly kingdom. Like Abraham said, hold your place here and find Hebrews chapter 11. You remember the story of Abraham, how God called him out of his native country and said, you go into a place I'm going to show you, and I'm going to make you an heir of God's promise of grace. And it says in Hebrews 11, for he looked, verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He's saying here, I'm a sojourner here. I'm a stranger here. I'm looking for a heavenly city, a heavenly country. In chapter 13 of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 14, we read again, for here we have no continuing city. We're not going to stay here always, but we seek that city to come. We seek Christ, our dwelling place. Christ, our refuge. John wrote about this city. Turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We're born into this heavenly kingdom, this spiritual kingdom, this new Jerusalem. Revelation 21. Look at verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He's going to make all things new. We're looking forward to that heavenly kingdom, that spiritual city. As Paul wrote back over here in Philippians chapter 3, turn over there. He says, our citizenship, Philippians 3 verse 20, for our conversation, Philippians 3:20. And that word there is rightly citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We're looking for him who is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder the Lord says that you must be born from above. Turn to John chapter 3. You must be born from above. You see, I was born naturally. But I was born naturally. I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That's why the Lord Jesus taught this most religious man, Nicodemus, the Pharisee, that you must be born again. You must be born from above. John chapter 3. Verse 3, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot understand, perceive, or know anything about the kingdom of God unless he's born from above. And Nicodemus said to him, How can he be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He was understanding just naturally. The Lord said, Verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, the Word, the Gospel, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. You must. You must. Cannot see, cannot enter. You must be born again. Look at verse 8. And here's the sovereignty of God in salvation. The wind bloweth where it will, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from whence it comes or where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. Sovereign grace. He'll have mercy on whom he will. You must be born from above. Now I know this. I'm not real smart, but I know this. The Lord has taught me this. We cannot, into this spiritual kingdom, into this spiritual birth, we cannot buy our way in. We cannot buy our way in. Now, I want you to look at these scriptures with me. 1 Peter chapter 1. We cannot buy our way in. 1 Peter chapter 1. We cannot buy our way into this kingdom. And here's the reason why. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver, gold, your vain conversation, your vain conduct, or your tradition from your fathers. But we are redeemed. We're bought with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was truly foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We cannot buy our way in. We are bought with the price of His blood. He bought us. Therefore, we can't buy our way in with our money. Secondly, we cannot work our way in. Can we work our way into the kingdom? No. Turn to Titus. Back to the book of Titus. We cannot work our way in. It's by grace, through faith, that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. We cannot work our way in. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness of and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We've not earned His favor. We've not earned His grace. Grace doesn't come by merit. Brother Jim sang about it a while ago. It's grace because of grace. The only reason for grace is grace alone. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, that's the new birth, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we cannot buy our way in. He paid the price with His blood. We cannot work our way in. Salvation is all of God's mercy and God's mercy alone. We cannot produce a righteousness to merit our way in. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. You see, I cannot produce a righteousness satisfying unto God. All of my righteousness, the best I can produce, the best I have, the best I can give, God says away with it. It is filthy, filthy rags. Man, his best state is altogether vanity, a zero. All your works, you pile them up individually or collectively. God says away with them. It's filthy rags. I cannot buy my way in. I cannot work my way in. I cannot produce the righteousness satisfying unto God that will justify the guilty sinner. We're justified freely by His grace and grace alone. Nor can we fabricate a way in. We cannot fabricate a way in. Some of you men who work in construction know all about fabricating. You fabricate a way to do certain things to get the job done. Well, in salvation, we cannot fabricate a way to get it done, because salvation's already done. He said, come to me and rest. We cannot fabricate our own way in. Our Lord said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto me but by and through. No man comes to God but by and through me, the way. You see, there is a way that seems right unto men. That fabricated way, our Lord said, but that's a way of death. My friend, don't fabricate your own way. Forget it. Look to Christ. He is the way. So I can't buy my way in. I can't work my way in. I can't produce a righteousness to merit my way in. I can't fabricate a way in. That's why the Lord said, you must be born from above. And the reason being, I was born wrong the first time. That's why I must be born again from above. Notice this too. I'm not going to sneak in. We have a lot of this debate going on in our country in political circles about immigration. I'm for immigration, legal immigration. My mother immigrated to this country in 1948, but she didn't sneak in. She came through Ellis Island. And she went through all the legal procedures to become a citizen of the United States. And my friend, in this thing of the kingdom of God and salvation in Christ Jesus, we're not going to sneak by God, holy justice, and sneak into the kingdom. Look what he says over here in John 10. John chapter 10. Look at John 10. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Not going to sneak in. Look what he says down here in verse 7, John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Here's the right way to come. By me, enter in. He shall be saved and shall go in into Christ out of unbelief and find plenty. Find plenty. So we're not going to sneak in. We're not going to buy our way in. Not going to work our way in. They're not going to produce a righteousness that will merit our way in. We're not going to fabricate a way in. There's just one way. And that way is all of God's grace in Christ Jesus. We must, by almighty sovereign grace, be born into the kingdom of God. I know this too. Lastly, on this one point, we're not going to educate our way in either. You can learn and learn and learn and learn. And you can learn right doctrine. And you can learn truth. But my friend, you must be born of God. It's the spiritual. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born from above. Look what he says over here in 1 Corinthians 12. Turn over there. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For by the one Spirit, verse 13. For by the one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made, all made to drink into the one Spirit. By the one Spirit are we baptized into the one body. We must be born again, and the reason is because my first birth, my natural birth, was all wrong. I was born in sin. Do you realize this? Now you think with me now. Adam was the only man that became a sinner by sinning. You heard me right? You didn't become a sinner by sinning. You didn't. You were born that way, and it's just because of what you are, the things that you do, is a result of who you are. Sin. That's us, through and through. We're born in sin, guilty, and Adam all died. By birth, we're born into a kingdom of darkness. Loving darkness rather than the light. That's why Peter says that he has called us out of the kingdom of darkness. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. We were born into the spiritual. We were spiritually dead, born in the kingdom of darkness. Without God, without hope, without Christ. But He called us out of that darkness. Translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. This is 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. How does God do this? By command. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Command of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is why the Lord said, I am come to preach liberty, to set the captives free, recovering of sight to those who were blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. God who commanded the light to shine. Where did it shine? In darkness. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is why every believer does give all the glory to God alone for all of His salvation. We say with the apostle, turn to Colossians chapter 1. We say with the apostle in Colossians chapter 1. And we say with David, Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name do we give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. But here in Colossians chapter 1, we give thanks unto God for this birth into God's kingdom, this spiritual kingdom. And we do give thanks. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet, fit is the word, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light in Christ, who delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, we do give thanks. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we can say with Paul, we are freeborn. We are citizens of that heavenly country by birth. Now, being born again, being born from above, being born of the Spirit of God through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, our Lord having delivered us from the curse and condemnation of the law, He redeemed us from the curse of that law that was against me, that was contrary to me, that condemned me in every way. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of that law, being made a curse for us. There is in Christ Jesus no condemnation. Having delivered us from the curse of that law, having fully paid our sin debt with His own blood, our great high priest entered in once into the holy place, not with the blood of bulls and of goats, but with His own blood, having accomplished all of our salvation, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, having delivered us from the curse of the law, having paid all our sin debt, having by His grace made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us, and we have freedom. Freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Freedom. We have liberty in Christ Jesus. He came to set us free. Galatians 5, look at verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He made us free. Paid my debt. Gave me a perfect justifying righteousness before the holiness of God's law. He made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Would you go back to that which curses you and condemns you? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that goes about to establish a righteousness of his own. And that's what he means by circumcision. He's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. If you're justified by the law, you have no need of grace. If you're justified by what you do, you don't need the grace of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Look at this, verse 21. This is a key verse in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. For I do not frustrate the grace of God. You see verse 21? I don't distort or confuse, abuse the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, if righteousness can be established by what I do as the ground of my salvation, then Christ died in vain. You see how vital the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is? We've been set at liberty through Christ Jesus. Turn to John chapter 8. Look what the Lord says here. John chapter 8. You see, being freeborn, we have liberty. Liberty, free from the curse of the law. Free from the condemnation of my sin. I've been set free, justified in Christ. I have a justifying righteousness, pleasing unto God. He says so. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's my righteousness. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Being one with Him, we're set free. John chapter 8. Look at verse 32. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Are you my disciple? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free. Look at verse 36. For if the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has died and there is remission. Find 2 Corinthians 3. Set free. Free. I remember a song, a verse of a song about what the law demands. Run, run, the law demands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. The gospel bids a sweeter song. It bids me fly and gives me wings. Look what it says over here. Liberty in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now, 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Freedom. Freedom. Every true believer can joyfully rest in the Lord Jesus. We are the true Israel, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Knowing He has made us citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and we do enjoy this glorious liberty of the children of God, and shall never be brought into bondage again. Free. Free. Oh, liberty. Freedom. Set us free. Having set us free, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Having set us free, Hebrews chapter 4. You know what we have in Christ? Having set us free, Hebrews 4, 16, seeing that we have a great high priest that set us free, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Having set us free, let us come boldly with liberty unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. It doesn't say earn mercy. It says obtain it. It's a free gift. Turn to Hebrews 10 and look at this here. Hebrews 10. In that new covenant, by that one offering, He perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10, 14. Look at verse 17. Hebrews 10, 17. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Don't bring another offering. There is no more. Having therefore, brethren, and look at verse 19 carefully. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Now, you see that little number? Maybe some of you have a letter. Look at the reference, the center reference, if you have the Cambridge. Boldness, what is that center reference on the number 2? Liberty. Having therefore, brethren, liberty to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. By a new and living way, which He had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit with the gospel. We have liberty to enter in now. Now? For how long? Till I hold out? How long? Now? All grace now? And glory? How long? Well, let's see if we can find out. 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Forever. Now and forever. Being born into this spiritual kingdom, our citizenship will never be revoked. Will never be booted out. Now and forever. 1 John 4, 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. Liberty! When? In the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. You'll hear Him say in that day, turn to Matthew 25, those who have liberty in Christ Jesus and who have been set free with the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus, you'll hear Him say in that day, as it says here in Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit, being made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, being a citizen of that new kingdom, heavenly kingdom, being born into that kingdom, we have an inheritance. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Enter in. Oh, I tell you. Can't you say with Paul, I'm freeborn, set at liberty. Thank God for the gospel of God's saving grace in Christ Jesus.